Good morning, everyone. Blessed be. The time of darkness is nearly upon us. Every day that we wake up, the sun comes up a little later, the day is a little shorter. And soon will be the longest night and the shortest day. That's going to be Tuesday night, will be the winter solstice, the time of the end of the year, the turning of the wheel, the death of the old year, the beginning of the new, and as they said of old, the king is dead. Long live the king. The year king will die and fall away, and the new year, the new king will rise. So it's time for reflection. It's time for enjoying that time of inner contemplation. And at the same time, at this time of year, we celebrate the holidays by bringing light, because the light is waning. And so this is what this is all about, folks, keeping the light going in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, in our community. And that's what we're going to be talking today about here on Positively Revolting Talk Radio. And I am Melody Silverwolf, and Ani Haynes will be joining us in just a moment. So I wanted to remind you all, of course, that the winter solstice is nearly upon us, and this is the time of year when so many holidays converge, as we have been so, shall we say, painfully reminded by all of the ridiculous controversy about, that's been bandied about on the airwaves of the mainstream media lately about how, you know, they, quote unquote, they are trying to steal Christmas, which is just ridiculous. Of course, it's the time of winter solstice, and Christmas is, of course, a week from Sunday, and on that same day, Hanukkah begins, and there's no doubt many other celebrations. Kwanzaa, of course, begins not next week, but the week after, I believe. And so there's all kinds of holidays upon us, and there's no accident that humans celebrate all these holidays of light at this time, because we are trying to keep our faith as the darkness comes upon us and then begins to recede again. So that's what it's all about. And in aid of this today, after we have a chat with one of our good friends in the community who's going to tell us about some really wonderful things coming up in this coming year, when the year waxes again, that'll be happening. But in aid of that, after we've spoken with him, we're going to be doing a little forecasting of the future. And here's my lovely co-host.
I don't look at it so much as forecasting for the future, but looking at energy around us now. So this is one of our, we have done eight shows a year. The witches are in. We've had requests to do more. This year, in fact, I was thinking about it last night. We haven't actually focused on one of the turning points of the year since last August, since Lammas.
Because we had a fabulous guest on Samhain.
Well, and actually, spring equinox, or I'm sorry, fall equinox, for the last several months, there's been so much urgency.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of feels like we're just, hurtling through this headlong rush to, like cultural destruction / transformation / how do we pull it out here? And because of that, we have foregone many of our more sort of, well, traditional shows, like The Witches Are In.
Well,
so
we certainly are in today.
Here we go. Right before solstice, it seemed like a very important time to catch our breath and to say yes.
And to get everyone ready to turn that wheel. And, there's more than one way to be a witch. And the person that's going to be on the phone with us in just a moment, there's many ways to create change in the world. And he is perhaps invested in a little bit different kind of a way to do that, but no less powerful.
Yeah, I think change is change.
Right.
And hey, Motion, with that, welcome to Positively Revolting this morning.
Hello.
Hi there. Good morning. How are you doing?
Are you keeping warm this morning, I hope?
Yeah, I'm nice and warm. I haven't gone outside yet.
Nice and toasty. That's good.
Well, I'm really excited you could be with us this morning, because really looking at the village building convergence and looking at the next year of village building, seems like it goes right into this sort of dark time of the year, the visioning time of the year, because it's soon going to be time to get active and build our visions. So can you let our listeners know a little bit about the Village Building Convergence, its history, and what's going on currently?
Sure. Well, the Village Building Convergence is is the way that we repair the city. City Repair Project, that's the main coordinator of the Village Building Convergence, which started in 1996, has been looking for a way to one community at a time enact physical changes in the landscape that reflect the vision and the talents and the tendency to converge and want to co-create directly into the landscape where we live, so people can see a reflection of their knowledge of their emergent community vision. But more important than building things that we, you know, which is really kind of the physical work of the Village Building Convergence, to build gathering places, what we're doing is helping people organize with each other to come together to talk about the world that they live in directly, to learn how to listen to each other, and then to learn how to share materials, energies, ideas, even funds to build places to help them come together. And part of why we do this is that the typical American neighborhood usually doesn't even have one social, you know, outdoor social commons, such as a public square or even for God's sake, a bench to sit on. And that's quite different than a park. A specifically social space is something that's missing everywhere. So in the Village Building Convergence, we don't just build a bench. We build them all over the city simultaneously at once. This year we may have as many as 30 communities working together.
Wow. So how do people plug in? If you want to help to build the village, to repair the city, and to do the healing work to fight alienation and build a better tomorrow, how do people plug into that?
Well, there are all kinds of different ways. The organizing effort that's happening in the core of City Repair definitely always can use more assistance. There's also ways to get involved by just simply deciding with the neighbors that you live among that you're going to create something. So you can say, well, you know, maybe I don't want to help coordinate it from a central place, but I do want to directly create with my neighbors. I want to make more friends, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then people can just take the initiative to create something, you know, right where they are. There's all kinds of different roles. There's, you know, if you have an aptitude for helping with logistics, or if you like to coordinate people, if you like to set up parties, if you like to build things, if you like to paint or create, or if you like to design, literally, there's every single thing that we do in the city, we also do in the Village Building Convergence. The difference is we don't just do it for other people in exchange for money. We do it with each other intentionally to create the world that we want to live in.
And so to contact City Repair or the Village Building Convergence?
Yeah, you can go online to www.cityrepair.org. And there you'll find ways to contact the Village Building Convergence. You can also email, Martin at cityrepair.org, or Evelyn Marie at gmail.com, and that's Y-V-E-M-A-R-I-E at gmail, gmail.com. You can do that. But the best way to do is to go online. And one more way you can contact City Repair about this is to call 235-8946. That's 503-235-8946.
All right.
Fabulous.
And there's a meeting coming up in January, as I understand, for visioning proposals and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Do you have the date?
I don't in front of me. I was hoping you might.
Well, I believe it's January 5th. But I'm not completely sure myself. I don't have the papers with me right now. But again, that can be found online at cityrepair.org. Speaking of witches, you were just talking about witches. Our favorite witch, maybe the world's most favorite witch, Starhawk, will be with us during the Village Building Convergence this year.
That's great. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Motion.
And keep on doing what you do.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you. And a good turn of the wheel to you.
All right, have a beautiful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, you know, there's some really important food for thought. It's, you know, as we turn the wheel, we look ahead to the coming year, and that's a wonderful thing to be involved with, you know, because it sort of occurs in the middle of the year. You know, May has always seemed to me to be one of the busiest months of the year. It's when everything's just, you know, coming together. People emerge from the winter time, and everything's bursting forth after Beltane, and human activity just rises to a peak. And, you know, what could be more important than to transform the world around us that we live in every day? I just think that the Village Building Convergence is a wonderful project, and we all need to contribute to it as much as we can. So getting back to the winter solstice, I just wanted to give you a few more details about the solstice. This is all according to the Wee Moon Almanac. The winter solstice actually occurs on Wednesday morning at 10:35, and the sun goes into Capricorn at that time. And the moon will be in Virgo. It goes into Virgo at 6:39 p.m. the night before. And so it's a very, you know, with the moon in Virgo and the sun in Capricorn, that's a very earth-oriented kind of a time, obviously. And I suggest that maybe earth-related issues might be something that you'd want to focus on. All those things, not just issues about the earth herself, you know, environmentally or taking care of the earth or weeding, you know, not necessarily weeding, but, you know, maybe, you know, protecting your garden or whatever it is that you need to do to your garden this time of year. But also for the earth represents, you know, the security of the body and the physical and your physical home, you know, is in a building that you live in as well as the body that you live in. So all those things might be something that you'd want to focus on when you think about solstice this year. And I don't know what other people do for solstice, but I always like to I keep a vigil as the sun goes down. I light a candle, and I or dawn again. And as the sun rises, as the dawn comes and the light returns, then, you know, I take a moment to, you know, make my spiritual observances. And no matter how you celebrate the winter solstice, or even if you just note it in passing as an interesting thing and you celebrate other holidays more vigorously, I think it's important to appreciate the seasons turning around us. Last night was the full moon. The moon was just beautiful. And this morning it's still up high in the sky and shedding its light on this cold morning. So it's really important, even though we live in the city, not to allow ourselves to be totally disconnected from the natural rhythms of things and to pay attention to all these things that go on around us that used to be the core of people's lives many millennia ago, before we could rely on civilization to make us feel incorrectly, in my opinion, that we no longer have to pay attention to these things. It's important never to forget that we live on a living planet and that civilization is a thin veneer over the natural world and that we're all part of it. So, she's back. And hopefully that strange little thing that was going on is over with now. So I wanted to let you all know that this, of course, is a call-in show. Our phone number, 503-231-8187. And, you know, we brought along our tarot cards this morning. And we're warming them up.
For the full Witches Are In experience, we do have tarot. And I guess that's where Melody and I, I don't know if we actually differ, but I certainly don't think tarot predicts the future so much, because, in fact, the future is always being worked out. We can't predict it.
It does in the short term only. It does in the short term only. Maybe sets a tone for entering the new year. And then, you know, it's all up to you.
Sort of checking out the energy patterns and seeing what you can make of them.
Astrology and tarot are never absolutes. They're just signposts, you know?
Well, I feel strongly the future is not knowable, because we affect it daily through our actions.
Of course we do. Of course we do.
Winter solstice celebration tomorrow night, Saturday, December 17th, 6 p.m. till 2 in the morning. That's a benefit for the Tryon Life Community Farm. I just want to go ahead and read this quick announcement before we move on into the tempe of our show. You can join Tryon Life for a night of rhythm, dance, food, fires, art, and celebration. As you know, Tryon Life Community Farm is sort of a work in progress. It's an intentional community. They have incorporated as a nonprofit for the education of the community about sustainable agriculture, permaculture, intentional living. It is nestled into Tryon Life State Park, or I'm sorry, not Tryon Life, Tryon State Park.
Tryon Creek.
Yeah, that one. And they, well, are facing a heck of a battle to try to save their land, keep their land, keep their intentional community. So they are just $250,000 away from realizing the dreams. It's pretty important, you know, to, I think, really the broad community, I think it's really important to the broad community to have such an example of, well, intentional living, sustainability, a different vision, a different way of doing
yes.
things. And that's why I think it's sort of all the community's business to try to, in fact, preserve this spot. Again, they need $250,000 by, oh, sometime early in January. Well, I think it's January 10th.
Unless you think that that sounds ridiculous. I mean, they start out needing, what, $1 million?
$1.5 million.
They've come all that way. They just
yeah.
need a little more help.
Yeah, they needed $1.5 million. They have just over $200,000 left to go. So that's really, they've gotten the lion's share of the way. So there's this benefit / celebration community gathering tomorrow night to really celebrate the solstice, and you can even do it in the city and yet have a bit of more feeling of being connected to a place where it's so much easier to feel, really, what's going on. You know, tucked into the state park, being a farm and all, but right there in Southwest Portland. So I'm just going to go ahead and read this announcement. Dance away the night to the funky beats of Newborn Tribe in the TLC Farm's famous concert venue, which is the old 1930s barn. Visit the acoustic room for beautiful revolutionary melodies of Cassandra Robertson. And also there's going to be a solo performance by Eric, the lead singer for Ashbury Park. DJs include Gypsy, Devin, and Ashan. And they'll close up the evening there towards the middle of the night. Of course, all music will be accompanied by fires and fire dancing to warm the body, good nourishing food and drink to warm the soul, and plenty of good people to warm the heart. So, again, that's tomorrow night, winter solstice celebration at Tryon Life Farm, 6 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Sounds like a bash.
Let's see. You can... contact if you want more information or if you want to help out.
Or if you need the address.
For tomorrow night's event, you can email tynan at tryonfarm.org. And I will have this information up at the front desk so folks can grab it later on, just in case you don't actually have your pencil out sharp and ready to go. So with that, we can move on. Well, also, let me give you the phone number for the farm, just in case. 503-245-3847. That's 503-245-3847. And the farm is located at 11640 Southwest Boone's Ferry Road, 11640 Southwest Boone's Ferry Road.
And the big old moon's going to be in Cancer tomorrow night. That's a really good omen for raising money for a place that's all about the home and hearth and keeping the old ways to go together. So, you know, hopefully it will be a really, really exciting event.
We sure do wish them the best. Okay. 503-231-8187, the number to call if you have questions or comments, or you want a little tarot nudge, you know, any of that stuff. Witches are in. We're looking at the solstice. This is the dark time of year, the visioning time of year, the time that it's really hard for me to make it out of my room time of year. And I think it's really important
to look at those natural rhythms and to try to respect them as we can going about this, well, post-industrial workaday world. Okay, so good morning to you. You're on the air.
Good morning. I love the winter solstice because it's the springboard for me for spring, for the primavera. When I know it's coming, it's not mm-hmm. here yet, of course. It'll be a couple of months before March brings some green, but the light, the light is reversing.
The seed is planted.
It's just, even though I can't see it, I can't, it's not really affecting the temperatures, it just to know that that's happening is so exciting. I watched last night, I've been waiting for it to be for sale for quite some time, the March of the Penguins.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just ecstatic. I love the French documentaries.
The bird movies.
Yeah, you know, it's the kind of stuff we don't watch enough of. I think the Bush family has never watched any.
Well, penguins don't vote.
But you know, the way they are, in the movie, I won't give away anything, but it just pretty much relates the cycles that the animal kingdom goes through with light and dark, cold and warmth. It's uh-huh. just the most amazing movie. It just really touched me.
Well, it just shows life in such a raw form, and it just really helps you really to understand what's important in life.
Yeah, and I was thinking, oh, it's so cold, I'm so cold, yuck, yuck. And then the temperatures that the penguins deal with are just beyond comprehension.
Yeah, well, you know, they're
100
equipped
mile an hour winds and temperatures that are just amazing. And I was thinking of the statement that George Bush Sr. made a long time ago about, you know, well, maybe it's good we have global warming because, you know, there'll be more, I don't know, the golf courses will be open more often, or there'll be more flowers. It was some really bizarre
thing. You can turn Greenland into a golf course.
Where he got it wrong. Like Marlena says, the ice age comes before the global warming.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's different ways that when we get off balance, that we get it delivered to us.
Well, maybe penguins will end up voting and running the world. You never know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I really have to agree with you about that film and that style of film in general. That's how Teresa and I spent our anniversary this year, was going to the theater and actually watching March of the Penguins. And
seeing it in the theater is a really good thing, too.
Yeah, I can't. I have really acute hearing, which is awfully good. It's kept me alive because I hear things coming up behind me when I bicycle. And it's just a terrific thing to have, except... but anyway, to get back to the penguins, you know, it's amazing the animal world. The silence, there's so much silence. There's months of silence. And then they have, with the penguins, they have the few times where they call to each other and make sounds to each other. But the rest of the time is just getting through the waiting. And my dog does that, you know, he waits. All the animals that live on my farm, you know, they all have the sounds that they make, but most of the time, you know, they're not jabbering like we are. We jabber away and then we go drop bombs. It's just the contrast between nature. The reason I called in, I'm rambling.
I just love that line. We jabber away and then we go drop bombs. That really resonates with me.
But, jabbering war monkeys.
I had heard on the news, which isn't often you get to hear anything concrete on the news, that the moon is the closest to the Earth that it's been in 18 years, something. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and...
there's a lot of astrological things happening right now that are pretty intense.
Well, I had my binoculars out last night to look. I figured if it was... you know, every 18 years it gets the closest. I better go take a good look with my binoculars. And it was so bright. I saw it was like looking into the sun. It was so bright. It was so amazing. And I was freezing. And then when I got back in the house, I saw, I guess, moon spots. I guess when you look at the sun, you see sunspots after you look away. But I was seeing little moon spots everywhere. It was so crazy.
Gaze into the moon, and now you've been captured.
Really? Yeah, but we need to really to really start thinking about the planet and the animals and the, you know.
Yes, including
They're
ourselves.
They're there.
They are there. And, in fact, we are all very, very connected. And I thank you very much for your call this morning.
Bye.
Happy solstice.
Well, hey, it's 4 minutes after 8 o'clock, everyone, and you're listening to KVOO Portland 90.7 FM. Or maybe you're listening on 100.7 FM down in Corvallis and Albany, or maybe out in the Gorge, 91.9. I'll bet you're pretty chilly out there. So everybody stay warm, and we're going to be here for another hour almost with Positively Revolting. We're talking about the turning of the year, the winter solstice, and the witches are in today. We have brought our tarot cards, and we have our Women Almanac, and we're ready and willing to do what we can to help you to get a little hint of what might be happening in the mystical world these days.
503-231-8187, the number to call if you'd like to join us. And good morning to you. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. It's always such a joy to listen to you guys. I moved down here to Nehalem a year and a half ago, and I found a spot.
We miss you.
Where it actually comes in without being all staticky. So,
oh, that's awesome.
And you bought that place just because you could get KVOO, right?
Well, I've figured out in my pickup where I could pick it up outside.
Right.
Anyway.
Very cool.
It's so good to hear your voice.
Yeah. I'm in need of an idea of what's coming. So could you run the tarot for me?
I certainly would be happy to do that. Pull three cards here.
She's got two of those three. There's the third. All right.
Well, looks like
I think I have to do running commentary as Melody lays down cards because dead air is bad.
We have the Queen of Swords. We have the Ten of Pentacles upside down. And we have the Star. So that looks like to me like currently that you have, you have all the, that you've been hoping for. Things, issues in your life, perhaps involving, information coming to you to be resolved, and that's all happening, and that's looking good for you.
Good.
And you've got the information you need. Now, the Ten of Pentacles reversed tells me that you are, that you may have some issues around having your money or other practical things go just the way you want, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be broke or anything like that. It's just, you know, these things, you know, sometimes they don't come as easily as you want them to. But in the end, the Star card is a wonderful outcome. It's, you know, the Star is really all about bringing down those, sort of woo-woo, cosmic, heavy air quotes, energies into your life. And so, although, you know, your Pentacles card is reversed, that's a minor blip in the overall picture. You have what you need in the realm of you know, the material information and connections with people, and then the Star is bringing all that really wonderful energy that's, you know, more nebulous. So I think that this is a really, This is looking really really good, I think.
So I also threw down three cards, and
oh wow, doubles, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we always like I love to see what happens because we use different decks, we have different styles, and yet we both end with the Star card.
That is
cool. That is really awesome.
And you know, you got 78 chances, three positions. Do the combinatorics. I don't know. So
somebody can do the math. Yeah,
somebody who's quicker with the combinatorics than I am. But here's and the other two cards actually mirror what Melody said, but I have a different take on it than what Melody said.
Uh-huh.
And that is that information clearing up. You have been there's a tendency towards self-deception.
Mm-hmm.
And as
I'm a Gemini, so
that says it all.
I love that. I live with a pack of Geminis.
Poor thing.
and as you are able to more clear your own sort of hoodwinking away, I don't see the the scarcity issue, I guess. Is more of a perception issue, a sort of perception management.
Mm-hmm.
It probably relates to we thought that it would be only 3 or 4 months before my glass shop was up and running. It took us a year and a half, so a lot of stress on that end of it. So
right.
Maybe that's where that's feeding into it.
It's right. Murphy's Law. You know, these things take longer than you think.
Yeah.
and there's definitely just making sure that you see all opportunities around you as opposed to just where you think they're going to be. Look behind you. You know what I mean? Like, just check out the corners. Because there's opportunity that you're not necessarily seeing, and that's part of that self-deception. Like, you have a very focused sort of vision at this time.
And so it's
time to sort of take the tunneling, the visor off, and really get an expansive look around yourself for opportunity. But definitely, you know, that star card is like, again, it's the news from nowhere. It's the cosmic connection. And in my deck, it really emphasizes sort of a change of cycles. It's like things have come to fruition, and life is going in a new direction for you and bringing good things.
Yeah, really positive direction. And I think also it, to me, it implies that in your work that that you'll be able to pour that inspiration into your work. And, of course, that naturally will have its effect on your material prosperity as well.
Right on. Well, really good to hear from you this morning.
Excellent. Thank you so
much.
You're
very welcome.
You have a very good holiday season.
The same to you. And, you know, take care and stay warm and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Love you guys. You take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye-bye.
503-231-8187. The witches are in.
And good morning to you. You're our next caller.
Yes, hello. I was calling to find out if you knew of any interfaith churches.
Can you speak up a little bit, dear? We're having a hard time hearing.
Okay. I'm trying to find out about if there's any interfaith churches out there that do kind of embrace either New Age or pagan leanings. I know.
Well, certainly the Unitarians.
Right. I know that there's the one on Olson Road, but they usually, my understanding is they kind of usually keep the pagan stuff separate, and I'm trying to find some place where they actually
I don't have any
that.
Idea.
Where do you live?
I'm in North Portland.
Well, I know my sister is very pleased with the Unitarian congregation in Hillsboro. She said it's very their CUPS program is pretty integrated, but I'm not really familiar with other specific Unitarian churches.
I have heard the Unitarian Church downtown. I've heard good things from friends of mine about that. But I don't know. That would be well beyond my area of expertise, because I personally don't... I guess to me, spirituality is extremely personal. And
You're not a congregator?
I've never done the church interfaith or coven thing, for that matter. I checked out a coven twice. And I'm very much a low practitioner. So I really
okay. Well, thank you for that. My concern is that what I see that's very hopeful around here is that's something that I've especially noticed. It seems like Oregon really seems to be a magnet for people of New Age or progressive spirituality, and even the Christianity is being affected here LAC, New Thought Christianity is pretty big here, and that's about, in my view, probably the most open-minded sect of Christianity. They have, I remember in the Living Enrichment Center they used to have sculptures of Gandhi and Krishna and as well as Jesus, which I thought was great. And I think it's important, part of the work of the world to help kind of save the world is that people need to kind of unify, understand each other's religions better, because unfortunately there's a lot of, as very conservative Christians who think that, they're fighting the good fight, fighting the so-called culture war, which is like a very us versus them mentality, and I think interfaith work is important to make, Christians
Absolutely.
And other religions realize that, the other religions are not the enemy.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage you to contact the downtown Unitarian Church, which I think is the largest one around, and see what their program is all about. Maybe if a person like yourself and a few of your friends got involved, you could sort of you know, energize that part of the program a little more there. Make it be more what you had in mind.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
It's almost 8:15, and we'll be here for another 45 minutes. This is Positively Revolting Talk Radio, and we're talking about the turning of the wheel, the winter solstice coming up on Wednesday, the new year, and the witches are in. We have our tarot cards at the ready, and if you'd like to join this conversation, 503-231-8187.
And good morning to you. You're on the air.
Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for this opportunity, right, witches? I know that you're accurate because you did it for me once before, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it was very good. So I have a question now, and I appreciate this opportunity. I've been in long seclusion, kind of the hermit state due to serious health issues, which may finally be resolving a bit more to allow me re-entry back into the world, which is where I would like to return. I'm kind of bored.
Right.
And so I kind of wonder what the cards will say for my coming year as far as activities or what the outlook is, because before they were very solidly, you know, like, here comes the hermit, and that was it, you know, and it's been valuable, and I'm fortunate to have had this time to rest and truly contemplate a lot.
Interesting you said that.
Pardon me?
It's interesting you said that, because I just drew three cards, and the first one was contemplation reversed. Meaning that it's time for that contemplative period to end, the passing away of that.
I hope so.
The passing away of that. And then there's two more cards, the Four of Staves reversed. The staves are the suit associated with fire and the will. And the Four of Staves is all about the intention of, like, it's associated with, you know, creating, like, putting down roots, creating, like, a home or a new sort of a structure in your life. And I think reverse, that means that maybe you're looking at reshaping your life kind of from the ground up in that way, that you might be, you know, you might be, that your home or your the things that root you in life are in flux.
Yes, I wish to move, definitely.
Yes.
That's a key component.
And then the Five of Swords, I think that what the swords are associated with the suit of air and the mind, and they're about mental things or connections with people, communications, you know, issues, social, you know, interaction. And I do believe that the Five of Swords is probably about that you may have some, there'll be some obstacles there, you know, that's just the usual things about these things can be difficult, you know, so you might have some you know, some hurdles to get over on that one.
In fact, I really think it's safe to say there's conflict coming up.
Well, I was trying to be polite.
I've been reading cards since I was 16. I'm 39. Again, you do the combinatorics. I no longer delve in the polite.
Well, but, yeah, it looks like you've got a little bit of a.
But if I can add to that, you know what Melody said. It's like, okay, the content. You know, I'm looking at Melody's cards again. We use different decks. They have a slightly different.
They're very complimentary.
Interpretations, and but they are. They're, you know, whatever. They all work together. But I'm looking at her deck, and yeah, there's the contemplation that's sort of passing away right now. It's like, okay, you know, it's time to shift gears. And what I have is much more communication-oriented. But again, you know, as Melody said, she has that communication. They're very reflective. In fact, they both have the Four of Wands or Four of Flames, however you want to look at that.
That's very
so.
That's
once again, two for two, we have one card in common. I don't know. I think that's fascinating myself personally. But what I see here is, you know, a time of really active communication.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say intense because it's not the communication that's intense, but the level of it. Like, you are really shifting gears right
yes.
now from hermiting to going outwards with your thought, with your ideas, with your communication. And also, the communication doesn't just stop with the outside world. you still need to be really engaged in your own inner process. Mm-hmm. So just because it's time to engage with the outside world doesn't mean you stop engaging with yourself. And really tie into your subconscious.
Yes.
Your subconscious actually has a lot of good stuff for you to tap into and to guide you as you are coming through the other end of your spiral, you know, the walking outwards path of your spiral. Then, you know, and oftentimes when you start speaking up, speaking your truth, speaking your ideas and your visions and sharing of yourself, it brings you into conflict, often with others, sometimes with yourself. But this feels to me much more like an outward conflict.
Yes, I'd say so.
I don't necessarily think you're moving anytime real soon. That might be part of the conflict.
What is the ultimate outcome card on your reading? There was Five of Swords, I believe. Was that divinatory or reversed?
Oh, the Five of Swords was upright.
Okay,
and basically it just means that, you know, you're gonna have to, in a metaphoric way, do battle with those swords. Mm-hmm. There'll be some struggles.
Deal with some trips. And what was the outcome card for the second reading?
Well, I don't necessarily look at the three reading as outcome. I think they're sort of a snapshot all together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the cards, if you're interested in knowing, I use a deck called the Daughters of the Moon deck. It's a fairly non-traditional deck. Melody's practicing to work Vegas, I think, in the background.
I just want to make sure they're all nice and shuffled.
And we have Maiden of Blades. There's a Maiden Mother Crone structure instead of King Queen, you know, Knight sort of structure. So we have the Maiden of Blades, which is associated with Gemini. But, you know, it's sort of, if you think of Gemini energy, the lightning fast communication, lightning thought, quickness of mind. Maiden of Cups, which is, again, newness, sort of the new energy of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Reflective, but not stuck in contemplation. Not hermiting, but bringing the messages received from reflecting outwards. You know, going through, bringing visions from your dreams to the world. That sort of energy. It's associated with the sign of Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
And the Four of Flames, or Four of Rods, in Melody's deck would be Four of Rods, mine Four of Flames.
Staves, whatever. Yeah, same
and
thing.
And that, in this deck, definitely has a somewhat different meaning from many decks. And in this deck, it really looks at battle of wills, equal opposition. And the lesson there is really knowing what your will is,
mm-hmm.
and being able to speak it, not in a power over kind of way, like my way or the highway, I know what I want and I'm going to get it, but holding true to your own vision.
Which means you have to be clear on what your vision is first.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. That makes good sense.
Right on.
You're welcome.
It's all on the money. It's all on the target,
rather. Okay. It's the crux of the biscuit.
Yeah. All right. As Frank Zappa would have said.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
You
have a great year.
Shining solstice.
You too. Yes.
503-231-8187. We are here, and we're reading Tarot, and we have the Wee Moon Almanac here. If some astrological tidbits are your aim, so give us a call.
And as far as the astrological tidbits, Melody alluded a little while ago to the fact that we are in astrologically very interesting times.
Yes, we are.
We have actually this started a while ago, 6 weeks ago at least. Beginning of November is when I really started feeling it.
Well, there was a grand cross that happened.
Well, it is happening.
Yeah, and this is tied back into the one
culminating yet.
This is tied back into the thing that happened in August of 99. This big astrological conjunction, and it's all part and parcel of, you know,
the changing times we're in.
Yes,
but what I was trying to say was that there's this specific, you know, sort of buildup. There's a lot of planets going retrograde: Mercury, Saturn, Mars. All were retrograde last month. Mars has gone direct
now, right? Yeah,
I think Mercury has gone direct as well. And we are still these huge, very significant oppositions and trines created in this particular pattern called the Grand Cross. It's a pretty rare pattern. As Melody pointed out, there was one in 99. And now, leading into this, it's resolving in April of next year, right? So we're looking at a 5-6 month cycle. And I know a lot of friends of mine have been having really hard times. I know, four people who are breaking up with or in the process somehow of altering long-term relationships. So it's a time where people are feeling a lot of instability, a time where issues are kind of getting dredged out of the unspoken or unseen and held up for scrutiny, which is really a good, if somewhat painful, process.
Somewhat painful. Yeah, I'd say that's an understatement.
And I guess I just really wanted to come somewhere between the pointing out and a warning that the period of time between tomorrow and the end of this month is sort of the apex of this energy, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. I'm not an astrologer, but I play one on the radio.
I suspect you'll hear from Marlena about this, too.
And so we have, again, this particularly, if you've thought things have been intense for the last month and a half.
Hang on to your hats.
Tomorrow is when things really heat up. And I know for myself, I've noticed the intensity, which makes me go, wow. Can I go to a cave for 2 weeks? No, I cannot.
Sorry, the caves are all booked. You should have booked months ago.
Right. They've been full for a while. You know, so it's just be kind. Be kind to yourselves. Be kind to each other. And know that everyone around you is having a challenging time. So be kind. And I guess that's really probably the best I can advise at this point. So with that, good morning to you. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
That is so wonderful. Kindness, as the Dalai Lama said, is my religion. And it's a marvelous thing to hear as advice and a reminder. And actually, it's so timely since I've called you. I've moved to Portland just recently, and I thought Portland was wonderful and progressive, and the people were very kind and laid back and warm and friendly. And I still believe that, and I know it's true. And I might interject right now that the KABU was probably the single most influence in me choosing to come to Portland. I just happened to live in KABU one time when I was visiting here. I'm actually from Canada, but I moved here a month ago from the Bay Area.
Ah.
Now, that was an interjection. What I'm getting at is that I've been having quite the challenge with my neighbors. Who seem to just be living a lot of anger and hate that they seem to have to toss out in my direction. It is unfortunate, but I know not to take anything personally. And it is unfortunate, but I'm sensitive and have not been able to avoid being affected by it.
Yeah.
So why don't I think I've blabbered enough. Why don't I have you lovely folks...
Could I give you a little piece of witchly advice?
You may indeed. Thank you.
When you have a complicated situation with your neighbors, you might want to take some steps magically to help to minimize that. Like maybe you could. I don't know what your physical situation is, like if you share your yards connect or something, but maybe like planting something outside, where your yards connect that symbolizes peacefulness to you, or, like pretty flowers or something that sort of, would symbolically try to heal that. Or if they really are truly being, mean to you and you just totally don't want that, you might try like putting some mirrors in your windows that face that direction, facing outward, so that any mean feelings that they're radiating towards you would sort of be beamed back their way. I don't know. It depends
Thank
on
you.
How far things have escalated, you know. But,
well,
you know, there's some tools you could use, you know, that would sort of, you know, just try to symbolically for you make you feel more comfortable with it.
Well, I'm using the tool of kindness and love.
Yes.
My first reaction was to just leave, and then I realized, you know, I just, you know, spent that place of just being calm and not, you know, and short-circuiting anything that was in the mind and renewed myself through the heart again.
Uh-huh.
And I went out and I did plant a couple of lovely, very sweet, gentle trees, and I'm going to do more planting with your suggestion. And I've also just yesterday finished removing all the sharp edges on the hedges around, and I thought, you know, just to have that as a visual gentleness of curves, not a sharp point going towards anyone. And I even did, I can't believe I'm even saying this on the radio, I even put up a little U.S. flag. because I thought they've got, what it is I painted peace in 36 languages on the fence, but it's very subtle in bright light, or, you know, in the dark you can't even see it. It's very, very light, but their anger is not about anything to do with me. That's what I remind myself
yes.
of. So rather than leave, I feel I'm this is where I belong.
Oh, but the cards just shout that. Let me tell you about the cards that I drew. I pulled three cards.
Thank you.
We have the King of Pentacles, the Nine of Cups reversed, and Transformation reversed, which in the traditional tarot, that's the Death card, which doesn't mean you're going to die. Don't panic. Basically, what these cards say to me is that you are golden and you're there, that you're going to that you're a catalyst in their life, that, you know, they're suffering through these terrible times. A lot of people are really falling apart,
yeah.
And that perhaps they're resisting being transformed, or perhaps this is an important transformation for you, that you two are living next to each other for good reasons, that
Absolutely.
I think that it's important that you try to work this through whichever way it ends up, because I think it's a kind of it's an important part of your life that you hold on to who you are and not let the people falling apart all around you pull you away from your center, that you, by staying solid in yourself, will not only help yourself but help other people, basically.
Marvelous. I take it as an invitation for mutual growth.
Yes.
It's
yeah,
not about
exactly.
them, and it's not about me. It's about
exactly.
all of us.
I think that's a really good way to look at it. I have cards that talk about really looking at who you bond with, where you draw energy from, and emphasizing the fact that together and united and strong, the sum is greater than the whole of its parts. Does that, you know, I never get that phrase right, but that, two or three people, when their energy is very bonded, very connected, can accomplish so much more and feed each other so much more than any, you know, any three disconnected people can.
I like the way these fit together perfectly, again, from different points of view.
And so, but I don't necessarily see the people you're bonding with as necessarily being your neighbors. I would
really not.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that in case that was an interpretation of what I just said, that, you know, to really look at your friends, your family, your kin, those that you feel that kinship with, and take that renewed energy, you know, to help to influence that situation. I get a card that Nine of Flames in my deck is can be interpreted as the "it's time to move on down the road" card. It's the card of the Wanderer. It doesn't necessarily always mean a physical move, but it can mean that. It can also mean really shifting gears just in your life to realize you've done what you can do in a particular situation, and now you're moving on.
That makes total sense to me.
Yeah, not staying stuck or focused in one particular way, but knowing that you have reached what you really need to do around your will and handling your uh-huh. your will, and knowing that past a certain point, you have to move on. Maybe not physically, but mm-hmm. you can't stay focused on it.
Right. So in other words, not to obsess over them and
It'll
what they think about you. Yeah.
Then I get the temperance card, you know, which is all about the blending of your will and your heart, and really knowing that that through the union of willpower and your heart, your intuitive self, what the combination there makes you the strongest you can be. It puts you in your own personal power. It doesn't. It you stay in center when you're working with your will and your heart energy together. So it's very hard to get you ruffled or off kilter. Which is just acting again from a place of personal strength and integrity. And I drew a fourth card because I just needed to, and it's the priestess, which really to me wraps everything up in a bow. That this is a time for you to really speak your spiritual self. That this is part of what your practice is right now. That you're really gaining new spiritual insight into the human condition, and to share that in whatever way you can, as gently and compassionately as you can, with those that are ready to listen, is a good thing.
Whoa. How astonishing and powerful and timely and full of meaning. Interesting, that's what the trimming of the hedges felt to me was the change, you know, that you just spoke of. And I wasn't doing it, you know, as an act of, as an inert act. I was doing it, you know, thinking in spiritual terms that I couldn't define. I wasn't even trying to define the spiritual terms,
right.
but I knew that I was doing it in spiritual terms.
That it was a spiritual act, so you were being priest.
Oh, wow! Once again, I am so grateful. That's my religion, gratitude.
Right on.
That's a great religion to follow. If more of us followed that religion, we wouldn't be in this pickle that we're in this world.
Yes. Well, we can. This is how we're going to see the way out for one and all. All things, not just all living things, but all things. Everything is living.
Uh-huh.
And I will let you go, and with my very great appreciation, and thank you for KBOO. What a great resource and wonderful thing. That is the hope we need.
Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed. And have a wonderful, wonderful solstice and a good year.
Absolutely. We all will.
Right on.
It'll be wonderful.
Right on.
Well, before we get to the next person, let me tell you what's coming up at 9, because Marlena's Electronic Salon and Ed Goldberger will join Marlena Smith in discussion with Tom Ranieri of Tet Cinema 21 about films. They'll also give us some analysis of current national and international politics and more mythology as it relates to our lives with storyteller Michael Mead. At 11 on Democracy Now!, topics include attempts to rewrite the nation's immigration laws, the oppression of workers, and the cleanup efforts in New Orleans. Also from New Orleans, evacuees fight to save their homes while facing rising rents and legal challenges. Tune in tonight at 5 for the KBOO Evening News with more on the protection of public lands from privatization, plus a feature on women in Venezuela's revolutionary movement. And at 5:30 on Counterspin, the program that monitors the mainstream media. Boy, there's a lot of M's there. Hear writer Naomi Klein on the history of U.S. support for the practice of torture around the world. That's... Oh, my. I don't even want to talk about that. Anyway, back to the topic. So don't go away, basically.
Bush actually agreed not to torture anymore yesterday.
And
go fig.
Well, I'll say a lot of things.
I'll go ahead and take that. Yeah. Look, torture ban. You heard it here first. Good morning to you. You're on the air.
Me?
Yes.
Whoa, that was quick. Hi, honeys. This is Miss Honey.
Hi. Hi. I thought that was you.
I'm wonderful. I'm loving this winter. It's the most wonderful, stress-free holiday season I've had in maybe 18 years.
Sweet.
And I think it's the sunshine. I have a south-facing window that's beautifully decored, I must say.
Nice.
Yes. And true love may have entered my life, and so I need a few cards, please.
Excellent.
Well,
yeah.
Let's see what we've got here.
It has been a beautifully clear winter. I have to say, I really have appreciated the amount of light that we have.
Interesting.
I bet there's conflict, isn't there? Or growth.
Okay, well, this is what I have. I'll start.
You start.
I have...
Whoa!
Yeah, go fig. I just, as the cards were kind of, I wouldn't say conflicted, but I would say there's something else. I drew a fourth card as I, mm-hmm. you know, I'm kind of intuitive in this stuff. And it made Melody laugh.
You'll know why I have it.
Is this is kind of a conflicted time for you.
Yeah.
You have...
I have a really heavy-duty neighbor conflict with my upstairs neighbor, who's also one of my best friends.
Uh-huh.
Who...
Uh-huh. What I have here is you... This is a hugely communicative time for you.
Good.
Again, the Maiden of Blades, which came out for somebody else earlier, it's really about lightning-fast thought and action.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more like lightning-fast thought and communication rather
mm-hmm.
than action.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also tapping into community knowledge. You know, it's sort of a gossip's card, but gossip is not necessarily a negative thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a community sharing information,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the more traditional media, if you will.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Information here.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
I also have the card of a couple of cards that really signify aloneness.
Mm-hmm.
But... one of them is the Eight of Cups, which is the card of withdrawal. It's about taking time to recharge after a period of time of activity. But it's not, it seems to me, in face of everything else, that it's sort of a thing that's passing away from you more than that you're heading into it.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's left you with is... I have the card called the Wise One. It's related to, in a more traditional deck, the Hermit card,
mm-hmm.
but it's not. It is. It has many sort of important differences. The Hermit sort of symbolizes one who separates themselves from the rest
mm-hmm.
of the world. The Wise One just knows that she has all she needs within herself.
Mm-hmm.
That because of your time... of withdrawal. You've done your contemplative work. You don't... it's not so much a... you can bring back the wisdom that you've gained through that contemplative time, the withdrawal time,
mm-hmm.
and help to spread it around, but knowing that you don't need to form a strong partnership, bond, alliance... group identity, that you remain the person who gathered the wisdom in and of yourself. I remember when I was learning this card, there was a play on words when I was checking out this card. It was said that the woman on the card, the priestess, the elder was all alone, and then if you just sort of squish the words together and throw in another L, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's or separate the words, add another L, it becomes all one.
Nice.
And so that to me is the essence of the card. It's knowing your inner strength enough to know that we are all one, we are all connected. You don't need more than that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now that said. I reached into the center of the deck and I grabbed yet one more card because what the heck? You are telling us that you're looking at this potential love, and I'm seeing things like, well, you're coming out of withdrawal, you're communicating well, and you're really good in the all-one, all-alone sort of way. And I'm thinking, that doesn't match. I'm throwing one more card, Dan, to see if we can make any sense of this. And, of course, the one more card that I reached into the center of the deck to grab was the Lovers.
Gosh.
So,
what a coincidence.
Wacky.
How about that?
Yeah.
So Melody laughed, and now you know why. And so what this tells me is there's a couple of different aspects to the Lovers. One is the obvious, you know, time of sensuality, time of passion, time of being in love. Another section of that is opening up your heart to really, truly take in the beauty of the world around you.
Well, and also about loving yourself.
And loving and self-love.
Which comes right from the wise one, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You can't be all one if you don't love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often a great kickstart to really understanding how lovely you are to be in that relationship with one who loves.
Hmm.
And so looking at it from that perspective that, you know, I really have no idea, really, around the, is this the be-all and end-all? Is this the one? Is this that? You know, that stuff. I don't know, but I can say really, I feel very certain that this is a relationship that's good for your psyche, that mm-hmm. helps get you closer to your center, that helps you appreciate the beauty around you, and helps you appreciate the beauty that is you.
Yes. And I would add to that, I pulled four cards, and basically what my reading is all about is endings and beginnings. That you you have the Ace of Cups upside down, the Queen of Swords upside down, and the Ten of Swords and Strength right side up. And basically what it's all about is very complimentary to what Ani said, that you are strong, and there have been a lot of endings, that there are some things that have come to a resolution and have been resolved, that was represented by the Ten of Swords, and some things that are unresolved, represented by the Queen of Swords. And the Ace of Cups is all about new emotional beginnings, and I think there's maybe some trepidation or, you know, issues there. But, you know, you are strong, and I think that, you know, things are looking good, but certainly there's no guarantees in life, obviously.
Well, thanks. That clears up everything.
Hey, that was easy.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, happy solstice, dear.
You
good
too,
to
sweetie.
Hear you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, if we could just predict things like, you know, like, you know,
I just
horse
want to
race
point
results,
out,
we could get rich or something.
That last caller, I met that last caller for the very first time when she got me as a premium in a membership drive, and I went and read her to
isn't that? I was going to say, isn't that slavery when you get people as a premium? I'm going to have to talk to Jana about that.
They're a membership coordinator. Actually, some folks have you and I as a premium.
I know,
we're going to get around to that.
So, yes, we do. We need to do that and get together for tea with those people that.
Let's talk to some folks right now. In fact, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, this is me.
Hi, that's you.
Hi, thank you. I've been listening to you guys for a long, long time, and I want to thank you very much for your service and your work.
Oh, thanks.
And your program. I'm excited. I'm in a very I'm in a big growth phase right now.
Uh-huh.
I've made some decisions. I've been taking people in, strays and whatnot, for about the whole time I've been raising my daughter. She's a lovely, strong, wise teenager.
Nice.
And I finally, just a couple months ago, made a decision to kind of stop all that and start giving to myself first.
Uh-huh.
And so, consequently, I've been making some really good decisions and choices for myself. And so the future's wide open, and also I can see that, anyway, I'm excited, and I've never called for a reading before.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you're just sort of feeling like you're, excuse me, turning over a new leaf for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And wanting a little check-in.
Yeah.
Well, it is, in fact, all about checking in. I have three major arcana cards that I just threw down for you.
And I've got one.
So, again, for anyone that's into the math of Tarot, I have 78 cards, 22 of them are in the major arcana, and I got three of them in a row here. It is a time of renewed perspective,
mm-hmm.
Realizing that things can be different than as you see them, mm-hmm. Or as you have seen them. It's a sort of waking up process.
Amen.
You have the card of the priestess. So, again, it's really about spiritual insight. This time is about finding insight for your own life, making sense of things and sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
From that renewed perspective, from your awakening, it's about spiritual awakening, really, at its foundation right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the other aspect of this is you also have the card of the lovers or Aphrodite. So, and again, that can be about an interpersonal relationship, can also be about your relationship to self and the world and your appreciation of beauty in the world and yourself. And in fact, given the priestess and given the awakening card, I would say it's much more geared towards love of self and mm-hmm. self-nurturance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And once again, synchronicity. Ani and I have drawn, I drew four cards, she drew three. And we have a major arcanum in common. This is the same. Uh-huh. In my deck, it's called Sacrifice. In her deck, it's called what?
It's called Reversal.
Reversal. And in the traditional deck, it's called the hanged one. It's not the hanging by the neck, but you're hanging upside down, like from a tree, usually by your foot. And it's all about the hanging between, being suspended between heaven and earth. It's all about playing the role of the traditional mythological wounded hero and being suspended between the mundane world and the, you know, the mystical, you know, skies or whatever. So that's in there. And we also have the Judgment card, the Two of Cups and the Queen of Cups reversed. And how I see this is, yes, I think that you have really reached a key place in your life where you are, it's not like you're being judgmental or anything, but you have reached the place where you are a wise person who's discerning and making judgments for yourself and for others that are positive and good, and that you are
sort of a card of discretion and discernment more
exactly,
than judgment.
Exactly. And then the fact that you have the sacrifice or renewal, reversal, hanged one there, I think it's all about changing direction and maybe even kind of going up to a new level in your life where you see yourself in a different way, in a more integrated or spiritual way. And the Two of Cups is all about, you know, making emotional alliances. It shows a couple raising a cup in marriage, and it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get married, but it's all about making, you know, making new beginnings emotionally, perhaps a renewed connection with your daughter because you no longer have all those competing interests in your home, you know, all those other people to deal with, that kind of thing, or perhaps a renewed relationship with yourself or someone new. It's like it's all about a new beginning, but as a kind of a, on a new playing field, you've taken on a new phase of yourself, basically.
Mm-hmm. That sounds exciting. I have a lot of energy, but it's been so misdirected, and I've gotten out of balance in the past, and so this is really exciting.
Very, very cool.
Well, good.
Well, best of luck to you in
yes,
this
indeed.
Bright and shining new year.
Thank you both so much.
You're very welcome.
And again, I'm Ani.
I'm Melody.
And we are talking about solstice. We are talking about directions for the new year, hopes for the new year. Our new year, we are, Which doesn't quite cut it for me anymore, because so many people are already an association of, oh, that means you practice your religion in this particular way with the Lord and the Lady and the this and the whatnot
and the wands and the woo,
and
the,
you
yes.
know. And whereas I like the wands and the woo, I don't really do the Lord and the Lady stuff. I really, you know, I think I'm an animist. I think that if I was cutting down to it and whatever, labels don't really apply to my spirituality. They're kind of too small for it. But I think animist would probably be the word best describing my belief system.
It's hard to come up with labels, you know?
Well, labels just aren't very helpful in this way. But, you know, in our past...